We are going to continue on the same trend that Brother Axel brought before us. And I'd like us to turn back again to Genesis chapter 12, reading again the first three verses. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. One other verse in the book of Acts, and verse 7. Chapter 7, verses 1, 2, 3. Then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men and brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein he now dwell. Savior, by thy power leads us. Brother Axel has given us some principles upon which we can follow, but I want to take your eyes from around your situation, and this is how God moves. Abraham was in Ur of the Chaldeans. And you find it's when we see the Lord that we have clear direction in anything we have to do. We were sharing with the young people downstairs where the Lord Jesus never said to the disciples, listen, you better give up this temple. This Jewish feast, finish with it. Or this law, it's over. The Lord always leads out in his person. As they follow him, he brought them out of many things that once was inaugurated by God. Now think of this man, Abraham. The God of glory appeared unto him. And we ask ourselves, how is this possible? Was it a light? Was it some big... What it was? It often goes through my mind. What it is? Abraham saw that the God of glory appeared unto him. And tell him, listen, get out. Get out from thy kindred, from thy country. That's very easy. Some of us in here have left our countries and married people from other countries. It's very easy. You move out because of love. Then, he says, and from thy kindred, from your family. Oh, yes. I'm talking about a healthy situation now. We are not talking about some who are glad to leave home and says, boy, thank God I could get out of here. We are talking about something that is positive here. Positive. And I never understood fully these verses until I went to Ethiopia. Family ties. When family ties are strong. And he says, get thee from thy kindred. But this is where it hurts. From thy father's house. The influence of father. When he dominates and he calls the shots. And now we have to turn from all of this and have to listen to the God of glory. The God of glory. God who sovereignly chooses. That's the God of glory. Calls out Abraham. And having responded to the call, we know about the delay, but I'm going into the one in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, is like the judgment seat of Christ. It no failures are brought out. It just says Abraham obeyed and he went out, not knowing where he was going, but he knew where he was going because the God of glory had appeared unto him and tell him to get out. The ground of faith is the word of God. So when the word of God comes to light, it is a lead. It leads. The word of God leads and tell us where to go. God says, get out. And what we like, human beings, we like security. We like to know. We will ask, what is the next step after you tell me to leave? After that step, where should I go? That's not faith. God says step by step. As you move out, I'm going to give you some more light. As you continue on the path, you're going to know as you go on to know. That is in the book of Hosea. As you continue to go on, God is going to open like there's no way, brethren, we stay here and says, I heard the voice of God at the Castle Wellen. But then, based upon what God has spoken to me, it makes me a pilgrim. And that is what happened to Abram. Abram saw this God of glory. And what do you think he did? You know what the scripture says? It made him a stranger and a pilgrim. They embraced the promises and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. All they had was a tent. Just the tent and God. Tent and an altar. And we know that Abraham had four altars. Yes, and Isaac had four wells. And Jacob had four pillars. And Joseph had four coats. But we are talking about Abraham. That he saw made him a stranger and a pilgrim. When you get a good glimpse of that man in the glory, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Jesus said, Abraham had a good glimpse, so to speak, of the Lord Jesus. He was occupied as he got that glimpse. Followed. He continued following. What a command? Was it you? No, it was just the sight, just enjoyment of the God of glory. What he saw, what was conveyed to him. Listen, he came into Canaan, and you know what he said? Canaan, for a city, foundations, who builder and maker is God. He wants something more. He says, I don't want the land, I want God. I want the city, I want the God of glory. And choosed and made him pilgrim to Acts chapter 9. Breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the fact that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed to Damascus, and suddenly they shined about him a light of heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, unto Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. Chapter 26. For King Agrippa. Recount what happened, verse 12. Whereupon I went to Damascus with a certain commission from the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying, in the heat tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Arise, but arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Verse, whereupon, O king, Agrippa was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And we know what Festus said when Paul began to speak. Paul, much made thee mad. Right he had on the road of Damascus. A man of glory. He saw glorified Christ. Christ on the cross. The good of that later on. A croaking down here, he never embraced him, but he saw a man in the glory. A man in the glory, crowned with glory and honor. And the Apostle Paul walked through life in the knowledge and the conviction. It left a permanent impression on the Apostle Paul's soul. There's a man in the glory. Glory. Man in the glory. A man there. Who was on Calvary's cross with your sins, now in heaven without them. And the Apostle Paul, right through in the second book of Corinthians, he says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What is that? The gospel of the glory is a man in the glory. And guess where the gospel is coming from? It is coming from the glory. And God, he says, he continued, he says, listen, the God of glory No, he said, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And the writer said, listen, in his face, we learn all the glory of God's grace. As we view, indeed, by faith, where he is, the apostle Paul said it was a light. Then he came, it was a great light. Then he says it was a light above the brightness of the noonday sun. What it is, his appreciation for that man in the glory grew. And the apostle Paul lost sight of things down here. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was Pharisee born, the strictest religion of the Jews. Tribe of Benjamin, the first king, came from the tribe. He had much to boast in. But you know what he did? He says, listen, I count it all for, you know, I count it all lost. Why? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He says, I suffered all these things, but refuge that I may win Christ. Saints, young people, you could have as much brains as you can. I know an individual, and some of us know him, have a PhD, a couple behind his name, derailed. Why? It's because he lose sight of the man in the glory. You could go to college. You could be doctor this, doctor that. You could be lawyer this, or you could be accountant this. You could be a chartered accountant, whatever it is. When you lose sight of Christ, I am telling you, in serious trouble. Serious trouble. And this is what happens. We are not saying don't go to universities. We are not saying don't have a good job, have a beautiful wife or handsome husband. We are not saying that. But all we are saying is, don't lose sight of that man in the glory. And the apostle Paul went through life with this conviction in his soul. Indeed, he said, listen, there was many things glorious down here, but there's nothing as glorious as he. That's why he said in the book of Hebrews, he said, listen, we see Jesus, who was Lord and the angels for the suffering of death. He says, no, we see him how? We see him. It's not we see him. It's how we see him. He said, we see him crowned with glory and honor. Oh, I tell you, the apostle, you think you could have discouraged the apostle Paul? That's why he said to King Agrippa, King Agrippa, you think with this little persuasion you will make me a Christian? He said, King Agrippa, and I could see apostle Paul bursting with smiles. King Agrippa, I wish you would be as I am. Except these chains. These chains. Indeed, listen, I don't want it on you, but what I have, give I thee. Indeed, the man in the glory. This is what garrisoned the apostle Paul. You talk about leading. All you need is to just see him there and just do it. Isn't it true before they had all these instruments and planes and whatever? It's the North Star. That's all people see, the North Star, and they know the direction where they're going. That's all they would look up, a sailor says, oh, okay, no, I'm going back. And he navigate himself from it. Listen, our North Star is the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. And the Apostle Paul, eminent impression on his soul. When young people start going off course, and old people too, and middle-aged people, it's because we have lost sight of that man in the glory. And our eyes are on men. Young sister tell me, I'm coming back to the meeting anymore. Strong language to her. I heard some new truth. Be coming back, probably you found something grand. So I went as well. Inform me, new light you are coming to. So I'm surprised because I wanted to follow the truth. And if you had it, I would follow you. I think next Lord's Day. New under the sun. But that's the book of Ecclesiastes. New Testament teaching, there is something above the sun. That Jesus Christ. So God said, listen, everything under the sun, there's nothing new. But God, I'm not going to leave you there. I'm going to give you something above the sun. The apostle Paul says, a light above the brightness of the noonday sun. That's what we have. And oh, it tugs the apostle Paul heart. With Paul, and he says, you know, the man who this girdle belongs to, they will bind him like this. And when he gets to Jew, Paul says, what meaning to weep and to break my heart? I am ready to die for the Lord. The will of the Lord. I'm going to take it this way. A man in glory. And you see that man in glory, the things of it grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Not a person realized, dear, my joy lies. Some people, in what they have attained, Some people glory in what they have acquired. They glory in many things. But the Apostle Paul says, for me to glory, Jesus Christ. For me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. That's a man. I'll turn to Hebrews 11. And verse 20. Verse 20. By faith, when Moses was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteem Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had reckoned unto the recompense of reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not of the king, for he endured as him who is invisible. Wonderful. To pass, fly over Egypt. No, I land. I went in. Off was Jemsan for miles. I saw the pyramids. I saw all the areas down the banks of the Nile and the delta that into the Mediterranean Sea. I saw that. And a dear friend of mine in Nashik, I said to him, I started to laugh. I says, I now know Moses left Egypt. Nothing there, nothing, just barren land. But that is not the so we had a good laugh. Moses, he speaks of the world in independence from God. What is going to take of the world? The bread and cows come home. We could talk till milk churn to butter. And I tell you this, we'll not leave until we see something better. We will tell you, listen, there's danger up ahead. Change your course. It's a two-way street. When they're in tears, don't think we cry also. Yes, we cry. But the thing is this. We in fear, sometimes we look and we see, indeed, that the winds are blowing and they are drifting. And when you tell them you're drifting, they says, oh, Dad, you out of place. You're really outdated. Mom, you, get with it, please. You know, you live your life. Now is my time. And all it is, all we are trying. Now we have to go underwater and try to, for you not to see, to hold the rudder, to just steer you a little, or just hold the sails and pull it so it could be steered somewhere. Listen, let me tell you something. God had that first. God said to Moses, in other words, God said, you know what? I got to show Moses. It's God brought it to him. He refused. He came. He refused. I am not going to be identified with the world. Suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. But there's no pyramids for Moses. No pylon. None of those things. No obelisk. Nothing for Moses. The world says, you give us up, we'll give up. The world speaks its own. And anytime you want to be spoken well of by this world, you're in serious trouble. Serious trouble. I was in Sylvania just before I came here. We had a young people's camp. They have a ministry, Higher Hope Ministry. This was, I don't mind putting this on tape. His father, tremendous preacher. Tremendous preacher. And of course, his mother sent him. But you see where I lived then? Cane, the sugar cane was all around my house. And I said, if you go through that, things that bite you, you see? Scared the deal. So he died. Boy. So I said, I am not closing my doors. If you run, I have to go through the cane. And he told me, look at cane, look at me. I said, nothing. I knew I drove a fear. So he was scared to leave. And he was very rich. I went when I went back to New York. Oh, I tell you. He was back. He says, he's now with whom he's working. I would like you to meet all these people. My joy was to see him. To see him back on, going on with the Lord and really being a positive influence. He saw Moses is in the world, this young man, world, you know. And what brought him out? Tell you, his mother prayed and prayed, begged the Lord, went real rock. He was drunk one night, very drunk. And what he did? He ran truck right into somebody's living room. So the man came down and saw the truck in his living room. And he in the front said, sorry, sir, I didn't ask permission to come in. Drunken life, recovered him. Think about Moses, 40 years, brought up in the universe, Cairo. The wisdom of Jesus in the world at that time. He give it up. Who? He had a seeing who is invisible. How can you see something that is invisible? He tells us, esteeming the reproach of the riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, he forsook the world, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. When you leave the world, believe me, the devil is coming back to get you. He says, you leave me, and you decide you're going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back. But he says, I am going to stand in spite of the insults that they may call upon those who have surrendered to Christ. But I say this, the energy, the vigor comes because you see him who is invisible, a man in the glory. Out of it, listen, the victor is on the throne. No one could depose him. He has conquered all. He has finished the work and he has gone in. Open up the gates and be lifted up. Let the King of glory come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty in battle. He is sitting there, and as he sits there, oh, I tell you, my soul, what problems could I go through as he leads through? Indeed, every obstacle got to move. If I follow him, I keep my eyes on him. Saints, it's not difficult, you know. Young people, it's not difficult. Mom and dad, we have luck. None of us in here is perfect. But I guarantee you this, in spite of our failures as parents, in spite of our failures as individuals, there is one who remains perfect and one who, there's no flaws, so take your eyes off of us. Indeed, you will be miserable, you will be disappointed. Turn your eyes up on Jesus. And I tell you what a joy it will be in your soul. Disappointment all about. But there is no disappointment in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to wrap up with this one. The book of Isaiah. King Uzziah died. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted. And his train filled the temple. And above it, streams. Each one had six. With two or twain he covered his feet. And with two he covered his feet. And with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved, the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Chapter. Good and good evil. Put darkness for light, and light for darkness, and put bitter sweet, and sweet for bitter. Verse 21. Woe unto them, wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty wine, and men of strength to make strong drink. This is Isaiah. Woe to you! And oh, I tell you about a judgment. Judgment preacher. Seen all of the brethren. Pronouncing everything. That's what he was saying. I am upright. I am real upright. I'm living for God. I'm here to preach of the Lord. Woe to you. Woe to you that call life for that and good evil. You see what will happen? Woe to you. I'm pronouncing woe. But he never really got a glimpse of himself in light of the man in glory. But a revelation came to him the year King Uzziah died. Very good king. Israel, they were up. They rise. As they say, the market was. That's what we say today. The market. London market is up. The stock market in New York City, man, is a bull market. It means the stocks are, people are just buying. Economically, everybody been up. Too proud. He came beside himself. He went into the, he wanted to represent, he wanted to play Jesus, you see, king and priest. And he went in, and the priest had to thrust him out because God caused him mercy to come up in his forehead. But that, the year King Uzziah died, he died a leper. Isaiah saw the Lord. He did up. Lord, that sight transformed the man's thinking. Transformed him. After he saw the Lord Jesus, the book of John tells us, he says, woe is. Saints, themselves with themselves are not wise. You just in the light and real wonderful creation of ourselves. The wonderful Isaiah, after Isaiah saw the Lord, pronounced woe on himself. Woe is me. I am undone because I'm of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Who shall go for us? He sent me. We them together. In context, realize on scripture that the Lord Jesus is not, that he is in heaven, accomplisher of an eternal the young people and myself, we've been enjoying the priestly work of Christ downstairs. And we, last night, we went from earth to heaven. There is a man there. On S-U-N, to this world, so the S-O-N is to us. He shines, I tell you. Huh? What a wonderful thing is. When we are in the sunshine, I will tell you this. If some of you get into the tan, things will turn darker. Okay? I just get a little darker. Okay? If you stay too long, you get burned. I also get burned, but I stay a little longer, and I get burned too. So, sometimes it's good for me to put on sunscreen. But you see, I don't have to put on much. But you might have to put on much more than me. The fact is, it still affects everyone. Every one of us. The S-U-N effect. Likewise, it's the same. When we are in the sunshine, the man in the glory, all of us will be affected. Not physically, but we will be affected spiritually. For me, to live is Christ. The things that are gained to me, I come but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. If you want to stay on keel, if you want to stay on the path, want to be led, simple. You try running. Blind. If you are going to fall. If you walk and you start looking at the rail, you are going to fall off. You just look straight ahead at the rail ahead and just walk and you see what will happen. You'll walk straight as a arrow. All the Apostle Paul saying, I was disobedient to the heaven. There is a man in the glory. Amen.